If you can open your Bibles in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. And it says, "For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." So as we can see what Christ did, you know, in the Holy of Holies, you know, we have the picture of the tabernacle there, but the Holy of Holies, we got the holy place, we got the Holy of Holies, but they also have the outer court. We see that where was the sacrifice done? It wasn't done in the Holy of Holies. It wasn't done in the holy place. The sacrifice was done on the outer court. But in here it says, "For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God Himself." So as we can see, in the outer court, that's where man is. He entered the holy heaven, basically. So the holy place is a representation of heaven. The outer court is a representation of man. So Christ left heaven, came out of heaven, basically, into earth because he had to die. So left heaven, came to earth, he had to die. And then we have the sacrifice. We have the perfect sacrifice. That's why when the birth of Messiah, we had the birth of Messiah, we had the birth of Christ, and then where was the first birth announced? I know that all the way in Genesis, of course, tells us that it's going to happen, and also to Abraham through the seed of Abraham. We see from the beginning of when Adam and Eve at the Garden of Eden, we have basically the first two animals that were killed. They didn't say lamb, but it says animals, because from the skin, Adam and Eve were clothed. Now, we see from Abraham and Isaac that they were the typology of Christ. God asked Abraham, "Go and sacrifice your son to me as a sin offering." So Abraham obeyed him, and then the funny part is that God says, because when Isaac asked Abraham, "Father, my father, where is the lamb? And we got the fire, we got the knife, we got the wood, but where is the fire?" And God says, "God will provide." So now they walked up to the mountain, the Moriah mountain. He's ready to kill his son, and God says, "Stop, don't hurt the lad." And as Abraham lifted up his eyes, he saw a ram. Did you notice it didn't say a lamb? He saw a ram caught in the thicket. So, but God says, "God will provide." He said, "God will provide a lamb." Prophetic. God will provide a lamb. In the same mountain area, God provided a lamb. It's future. See, but he says, "God will provide a lamb." And not at that moment it was just to cover Isaac. See what I'm saying? There was a lamb provided to cover Adam and Eve. There was a ram covered to cover Isaac only. And then throughout the tabernacle, we see a lamb to cover the nations. But then a lamb has to come to cover the entire world. The perfect Lamb of God. If you go to Luke chapter 1, in verse 5, "In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth." See what I'm saying? So both of them, so as we can see that we see Zechariah, he's from the tribe, from the priest, the high priest tribe. His wife also. So double lineage right there. So, as Zechariah was going into the Holy of Holies to do his service of offering to the people, and then an angel comes and tells him, "You are going to have a son. And at that time, your son also is going to be, he's going to announce, he's going to be the forerunner of the Messiah." That's where it was introduced. And then why John the Baptist? So we see that the son of Zechariah, John the Baptist, from the lineage of Aaron, he actually is the high priest. Because the high priest at that time, they didn't believe in Jesus. You see what I'm saying? So now we have John the Baptist, and as we see all the way in verse 17, it is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit of power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and to disobedient to the attitude of the righteous to make ready the people prepare for the Lord. So as we can see that in the beginning of Christ's ministry, he goes to the Jordan River. Why does he go to the Jordan River? Remember the Old Testament? So they leave Egypt. From Passover, they are no longer slaves. 40 years in the desert, they get into the Promised Land. And then as they enter into the Promised Land, they have to cross the Jordan. The past you left behind, there is a new beginning, the new Promised Land. That's why John the Baptist had to go there to remind them it is the past. Leave all your past, because this new lamb is going to take your sins away. So, as we can see in this passage, we can see the high priest, John the Baptist. When you sacrifice a lamb, you have to inspect the lamb that it is without defect. Nothing could be wrong with that lamb. That's why Jesus was sent to the desert for 40 days to be tested by the Spirit. Satan didn't lead Christ to the desert. The Holy Spirit did. To be tested, but without any sin. Then the high priest, John the Baptist, comes and says, "Yep, behold the Lamb of God." He basically is taking his Aaron priesthood, inspecting the animal and saying, "This is the perfect sacrifice for sin." And then John the Baptist also recognizes that I'm worthy to baptize you. See what I'm saying? He recognizes that as he does that, because the first thing that the priest does is to take the lamb, inspect it, present it to the people. He says, "This lamb is going to cover the sins of this individual." The priest takes his hand, places it into the lamb, and they also takes it and place it into the head of that person. And that person confesses his sins. Also, you can see all from the offerings that is offered in the Old Testament. You have the sin offering. You know, you have the guilt offering. You got the peace offering, you got the grain offering, you got the heave offering, you name it. All of that reflects to Christ. But you see how many people have to do all those things. But Christ himself is it. He's the perfect Lamb of God. So now John the Baptist is taken as his high priest, observant, purifying. Just like what he does to the people, he's doing this to Christ. But he recognizes this is it. It's like he's taking the true, not the symbolic thing that the other priests used to do. But this symbol, this is the actual Lamb of God, perfect in all the way. So he says, after he inspects the lamb, he says, "This is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And then he basically goes down into the waters. So basically what John the Baptist is doing is actually symbolizing the death of Christ. Christ died almost like in that moment for us. You see what I'm saying? Because as he went down into the waters, symbolizing his death. As he came out of the water, symbolizing his resurrection. At the beginning of the cross, everything started right there for us. So as Christ came back, he said, Christ didn't come to live. This is the birth of Christ. No, Christ was already living before the foundations of the world. He came actually to die. That's what he came to do. He didn't come to live. He came to die for us. So now he comes out of the water, right? And now he says, and then you see, of course, the Trinity. God spoken, the dove right there, and Christ coming out of the water. So now, He is going to go to the cross for us. He is going to die, and He's going to die for us, Yom Kippur, you know, for the remission of our sins. The same angel that came to Zechariah also went to Daniel. And he said, Daniel, you have 7 times 7 for the times of the Messiah that He will come for the remission of sins. The same angel that told Daniel he will go to Jerusalem, he also told Zechariah that he's going to have a son. The same angel went to Mary and told Mary that you're going to have a son and his name will be Yeshua, Jesus. The same angel also went to the shepherds. Why Bethlehem in all places? Because in Bethlehem, not too far from Jerusalem, that's where they actually raised those lambs specifically for the sacrificial lambs in the temple. Specifically for that. And you have to wash them by night, make sure they don't have a broken leg. They don't have any defects. They don't get hurt. Nothing can happen to them. It has to be watched 24/7. Who is there to welcome the little lambs when they're born? The shepherds. Who was there when the perfect Lamb of God came and it was born in Bethlehem? The shepherds. It's not a coincidence. God doesn't make mistakes. Where was Jesus heading after He cursed the fig tree? When He was in the Mount of Olives coming back down, He was passing Bethpage in the English, but it's Bethphage, which is what it means. It's Beth House of Figs. And He saw a lonely tree right there. And He cursed the tree, right? He was going to cleanse the temple. He's going to cleanse the temple because He knew that it was all from their own, the Pharisees. Nothing is done for us, for the Lord. So He cleansed the temple. He knowing that He's going to die in a few days. Even at His, when they were eating the Last Supper, which we just did, He did not eat. Why? Because He will be eating for His own sake. You see what I'm saying? But He wants us to eat of Him who is going to die. But because He died already, now He will eat with us at the marriage of the Lamb. Everything has its purpose, what Christ did, what God did. So as we see now, all the way, John the Baptist wasn't just born because he was born. God knew that he was the next as the high priest, not Caiaphas. He was selected only because he was going to be the best to represent us before Rome. But in the eyes of God, Zechariah, John the Baptist, that's the last high priest to represent Christ as the living sacrifice for humankind. And he did. And as he presented to the people, behold, this is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And Christ was ready because he was the perfect sacrifice as the Son of God, impeccable. Nothing was found. Not even the devil could tempt him. Goes to the cross for us. Now he enters into the Holy of Holies. He didn't go back to the temple. As you notice, he went directly into heaven to show himself before God the Father. And he says, what you have asked me to do, a body you prepare for me, the same body went into heaven right now, present himself to God the Father. It is done. It is finished. That's what God did for us. That's what God did for us. He himself went. So, he did not enter the tabernacle made by hands, Moses and Aaron, all the Aaron priests. The sacrifice was done on the outer courts, from the cross to the ground, from the ground to take liberty to those who were down there, the Old Testament believers, took him with him to heaven. We are next. But we're going to be resurrected first. They will be resurrected second. Amazing, isn't it? As the bride of Christ, we got privileges. We are a privileged generation. So we will come back with him. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then those who still remain alive, they will caught up with him to be with him forever. So, and then we're coming back at the 1,000-year rule and reign, to rule and reign with him, his church, his body, us. We can see Israel being us, the people who are going to be the guests of the wedding. They are the guests of the wedding. We are the bride of Christ. That's why the 7 years goes through and the church is not here. The people who also will believe during the tribulation, that Israelites, because all Israel will believe, they will be part of the wedding party, basically. That's going to last for 1,000 years. That's the plan of God for the perfect Lamb of God. Sometimes you think that's being mystical. God says, you know, that's the mystery of the Lamb. Yes, it's a mystery because the Israelites didn't see it that way. But he made a perfect provision for the church, us, to be saved. Israel had a chance. There were a few, I think I will say probably 1,000 people that believed at the time of Pentecost and all that, but that was it. But now, the second harvest will come where all Israel will believe. And that's going to be this big announcement will be made throughout the world that the people are going to be shocked. Because Israel then will be the ones who will proclaim salvation. We won't be here. That's the chance now. And that will be done right before kneeling kingdom. So I bless that this blesses your heart, because I know it does. But sometimes we take that as a mystery what God has done for us. Yes, it is a mystery, because the Jewish generation didn't see it. Christ came specifically with you and I in mind as he went to that cross. And he didn't select a few people, he selected the entire world. We make that decision. To believe or not to believe, we make the decision. But the Lamb was sacrificed, and it was perfect. And once and for all, the sins of the entire world were forgiven. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Christ. And he was the last. I can see him like in heaven when we get there. I think he will have a part of the wedding supper of the Lamb. I truly believe that he will. He was the forerunner of the king. And he did. He came, and then he says, he diminished Christ. Of course, ministry started. But the amazing thing is that he said, behold the Lamb of God. He is the high priest before God that gave the ultimate, it's like the kosher guy. He says, yep, that you can eat that. I don't know if you guys have been to a restaurant or where they have a kosher food or bakery. The rabbi has to be there. Every egg that you crack, inspect it. Yep. Another one. Nope. John the Baptist had to inspect the perfect Lamb of God. And he said, yep, it is good. It is perfect. And the Lamb dies. Amen? Amen. Good job.